Good afternoon. I'm really pleased to be here, and I thank Jonathan for the invitation to tell you something about my experiences with holography, especially with the continuous struggle with museums and with the ambivalent image of this fascinating medium. And I guess I was asked because I had a lot of I got in touch with the different kinds of museums, and by the way, I founded my own museum very early in the 1979, the first one in Europe, and therefore it's a subject which really interested me from the beginning, and I thought I will probably structure my talk, which in my opinion really fits perfectly to the talk from Andy, because there are a lot of similar impressions, a lot of similar thoughts from a different perspective. Therefore, I would like to start with the structure which I put up. There was always a certain harm, a certain tristesse from our great famous art holographers because it was so difficult to get in real art museums, in the famous museums. And I want to talk about the holography art, the art museums, and all the other museums which are around for holography and which had connections with holography. Holograms in an art museum are as rare as a pearl in the oyster. That means you really never found one in one of the big, famous, recognized art museums. Of course, there are a few. It's Harriet Kestin Silver, it's Doris Villar, it's Nancy Gorglione, or it's Dieter Jung, I mentioned. Sally Weber has very nice installations. Yes, there are artists who are able to convince curators and to have their work in real art museums. But these are very, very few compared with the amount of holographers which we have. In the big famous art museums like Peggy Guggenheim, like the Tate Gallery or the Musée de Beaubourg or in Stockholm, there are no holograms. That means holograms in the premium end of the art world didn't yet arrive there. It's therefore, in my opinion, we have to be a bit modest and we have to wait, because the way for photography was about 160 years since the first photograph was shown. I think it was 1839 from Nips in the Academy in Paris, and then we had the daguerreotypie, and I would say beginning of the 60s in the last century we started to have recognized photography as an art medium, and I guess we will be faster with holography, but it's still a long way to go and to be recognized as an art medium. If we look into the, it's the same picture which I have seen at Andy's speech already. It's Rick Silverman's meeting. I have still three of them, if you are interested. That means, if you see at the museums, there are probably less than 10% of the artists which are living, which are around, who are represented in the museums. And in the museums, it's always only a very, very few pieces which are on the wall. That means we have to accept that museums are a touristic attraction today, and that it's a very high competition between the museums and the curators who really has the best goodies, who has the best art pieces. and holography is not yet recognized as premium art. Therefore, it's still a big hurdle to come into a recognized, well-known art museum. And therefore, we found art holography mostly in very small museums, in museums which are working in a niche or in the province. That's a part of the story. That means, would a artist which is seen as museum ripe, is it a disadvantage if he works with holography? No, if it's a great artist, it isn't. But for curators, it's a problem, because curators they like to have a huge range of artwork. And I never met a holographer who had a comparable art body, a volume, like it has a painter. That means if you have a holographer which has about 100, 200 holograms, what does it is in comparison with Picasso? Oh, we don't have to name Picasso, there are a lot of other, Gerhard Richter. That means people, artists who really are much more productive in a certain sense, and therefore it's easier to get the quality which you are looking for. That's a problem, and I think we have too less really highly gifted holographers, because most of them are coming with a technical approach. That means we have some, even here between us, are sitting some highly gifted holographers, like the speaker before. Therefore, the way into the technical museums and the science center was much easier for holography. Science center or technical museums always have the fame to be a bit boring, to be a bit dry. But holography is fascinating, no question about it. And holography still is competitive with the other new modern virtual media, which I know from my own experience, putting up this year more exhibitions than in the last 10 years. That means it still is the same phenomena which works. Therefore, the technical museums really liked to put holography up, because it increased the attractivity from the museums. Starting with the problem of the curators in the art world, as you know, we had the holography really started without history, without past, directly in the museum. I did the same thing. That means I don't want to blame anybody for it. For me, it was purely a PR idea. I thought, if I have a museum for holography, I get more PR than if I start with a holography gallery. That's a very simple reason, and it worked. Therefore, we got such an inflation from holography museums without content. That means at the beginning or in the mid-80s, we have had hologram galleries, museums all over. In London, the Trocadero, it started at first as Light Fantastic, and in nearly each bigger city, there were huge holographic exhibitions, and it was the decade in which I had about more than 250 exhibitions worldwide. Looking in the past of the medium, I think one of the first who I know was Carl Friedrich Reuterswerth, who worked together with Hans Bjelkhagen. And Carl Friedrich, who is a very recognized and famous artist, the sculpture which you see here, Nonviolence, the piece Nonviolence is in front of the UN building in New York, and it's a big metal sculpture. and we produced it as a hologram as well. And Carl Friedrich started 69 together with Hans Bjelkhagen in the opera in Stockholm with a laser stage set. And then they started with the first laser transmission holograms. And later, Carl Friedrich worked together with Dali in New York and with Peter Claudio. They made this famous hologram from Dali with in the multiplex technique. And I think this was the beginning when the first time holography crossed the art world. Hans, I'm right?
No, maybe. Yes, you're right.
It's a
Bruce Neumann, you have to remember also.
He's coming.
With McDonald, with McDonald.
On the next page, he is. That means my own start with a holography was completely by accident. I studied philosophy and literature to make sure that I never will end up with an ordinary profession. Therefore, I was quite open. And when I came the first time to New York, I passed by the window from Cartier. And you all know this fabulous story. It's a PR story. It's one of the best PR stories. But it's really true, with the arm from the lady who kept the diamond collier out of the window, and the people really were standing in front of the window and they freaked out because nobody has seen at this time a hologram before. The same with me. I didn't knew the technique, I didn't knew the laser, I knew nothing about the medium. And then I went into the shop and asked what it is and where I can find things like this, and they sent me to HoloConcepts Corporation of America with Bob Shinella. And he founded the company as a spin-off from McDonnell Douglas. And this is a diver scene which I put up together with Annabelle Schönberg. She's over there. She's studying to restore holograms, which is a wonderful profession in my opinion. And we both were very highly delighted that the hologram was in such a great condition, yes, in such a great condition. It really has an unbelievable depth. It's about 5-6 meters, and there are at least five divers coming in. There is one coming over here, one over here, the lady down here, and the other one. So it means it really is a tremendous space, and it was done 73. And in 73, I bought this hologram from HoloConcepts, and I started my career in holography, selling the first display holograms in 73 and 74. One of our first customers, washing powders, yes, and they always had money at this time, typewriters, technical products, and of course, a haunted house. Something with this little cars cruising through a dark space, and there we had a huge hologram in, and these were my very first steps into the field. But I don't have to tell you anything. We needed mercury arc lamps to lit the holograms. It was a very dim image. It was not really stable. It finally was too early for an commercial for a commercial business. Therefore, I found out that it is much easier to make exhibitions and to show holograms to live from the fascination than to produce holograms for customers. Because the customer never were really, really happy with the holograms. There were always some things they disliked. And therefore, the audience, the broad audience, always was happy with holography and with holography shows. Therefore, I shifted in the holography field. And after Posey Jackson founded the museum in New York, I had a chance to buy the stuff from Holoco, they just went bankrupt in 78, and I got also stuff from the First Light Fantastic exhibitions in London, and therefore I started with my own museum here. The pity at this time, there was not enough material really, because everybody who had a gallery or who ran a museum had more or less the same stuff, and therefore it was, for a competition point, difficult to differentiate yourself, and therefore I really engaged myself very early in art holography and to collect and to show single exhibitions from single artists. And I started my activities in a little, it was a huge carpenter shop with about 3,000 square feet in a suburb from Cologne. And I set up each year two different artists like Ruben Nunez, Moret, and Schweitzer, Rudi Bergkort. You can read it by yourself. These are the early Gregs, the early great views in the art holography. And together with the city of Pulheim, we sponsored the first European holography prize, which was won the first time from Doug Tyler. Here you can see his work in the picture. After this, Patrick Boyd and Setsuko Ishii. She also is in several museums represented. But I guess the high season from holography was over at the end of the 80s. Posey Jackson left 86, then the other ones, a lot of the galleries went bankrupt, and I closed my museum finally in 1994. Just because it didn't work as a profit center anymore. I couldn't find any sponsors for the exhibitions, because all the exhibitions were sponsored by great companies like energy supplier, like banks and things like this. Holography was out of a modern innovative focus, and the future, the medium of the future, wasn't seen as a future anymore. Therefore, the demand for the exhibitions went down, and my business model, like I had it for 20 years, went didn't work in the way how it was. But I still have the collection, and I still are doing exhibitions. And as I mentioned before, I have more inquiries and demand for exhibitions today than ever before in the last 8 years. Therefore, I think holography is in a consolidation phase. It needs time, and it will stand up again. And if I see the amount of visitors which we had, I had only with my own exhibitions more than 3 million, then it kept, not really, for decades, it's a bit fashion. And I think it has to come back with a more, with a higher sustainability than it was in the 80s. In my opinion, holography still has a future, because we get such a lot of new innovative technologies. We have the color, which we have heard about. We have the virtual, the combination with the digital holography, and we have new holographic materials, like some big companies, Bayer, for example, or DuPont, are still investing in holography. And I think there is a new wave on interest. And this really makes me believe that holography didn't end, it has another start in front of the medium. And you shouldn't forget about all the new generation of holographic artists, which are completely different from the first one, who are mainly educated in Cologne at the Kunsthochschule für Media Art. And we have Peter Schuster with us, who is working with all of them. There are a lot of internet addresses which you can get from him or from me, and you can look the new artists which are working with this medium. That finally comes to an end. I dedicated 35 years of my life to holography, and I experienced a lot of ups and downs. In my opinion, holography is very cyclic. That means it always went up and down, and I believe we have another up in front of us. The fascination of the medium still works, Andy spoke about, and I really can tell you, each exhibition which is coming up, I have had an exhibition in Croatia this summer, the people are reacting the same way how they did in the 80s. And I have for my the 2,500 holograms which I roughly bought in the favorite years in the 80s, I sold out in packages to different museums, but it's really ridiculous that the Center for Kunst and Medientechnologie in Karlsruhe, they got 500 holograms for me. They never showed one, and I think the time will come that they will show at least the first dozen to get the people alive again. That's my talk.